this obviously, all of this flows in a context, and the preceding information is necessary to fully appreciate the ongoing. Like I've said over and over again, yes, you can go find a verse on something, that's fine, but getting into the flow of the context and sticking with it is the key. So I entitled this The Baptism That Saves. And corresponding to that baptism now saves you. What we have here is, and corresponding, okay, we have and then we have the word antitupos. Antitupos means a copy or a counterpart. It's only found twice, this noun, in the New Testament, and the other one is in Hebrews 9:24. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy, antitupos, of the true one. And so they translate it here, and corresponding to that pronoun, relative pronoun, that baptism. The word for baptism is I put two pi's in there. Should be one. Baptisma, baptism, that now saves you. The word now is the adverb noun, and saves, perfect indicative of sozo, to save you. Not the removal of the dirt of the flesh. Not the removal of the dirt of the flesh. Apophasis is removal. Dirt is hupo. Let me see this. Hupos. The dirt of sarx, the flesh. But an appeal to God for a good conscience. But an appeal, a response or appeal, is ep erotema, the appeal, only here, but an appeal to God with a good agathos, sunedesis, conscience, through the resurrection, anastasis, of Jesus Christ. One, this verse and its syntax, that means the way it's laid out, is notoriously difficult to interpret. Peter, in one place, we'll get to it down the road, said Paul wrote some things hard to understand. Well, you did too. Before we begin, we'll take a look back at verse 20. Peter's point in mentioning the eight persons is to remind his readers that few were saved back then. Just as few are responsive to Bible doctrine in time. Jesus' sayings reflect this fact. It reflects it with regard to the topic of salvation. The easiest thing in the world to do and get the most out of it and escape the worst. The biggest blessing to escape the worst eternity is to believe in Christ. Hear the gospel and believe. And yet, we have the overwhelming members of the human race, the majority, the big majority, not just a small majority, the overwhelming majority remain unbelievers. I think if you took 100 people, if you took 100%, of what percentage of out of 100% is believers? We may be shocked. We may be real liberal if we said 4%. And I'm talking about from Adam. If that equation changes in the millennium at all, I don't know. But salvation is easy. It requires nothing, no cost except, you know, bury your pride and believe in Jesus Christ. And in Jesus' sayings, He says this as much. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few find it. It isn't because it isn't broadcast and proclaimed and made available. God isn't limited because of people's geography or time in history. If they're out there and they're salvable, they are responsive, he'll get the message to them. He's not going to let anybody fall through the cracks. Oops, sorry. That isn't going to happen. That happens with humans, but they're trying to save everybody, but unfortunately they couldn't save that person. They didn't get there in time or whatever it was. Few is a relative term as related to a much larger many. In Noah's day, few was a dramatic few as compared to the many. I can't even imagine in that period from Adam to the flood how many human beings inhabited this earth. Longevity was way up there. That meant people could have children longer and other factors involved. When this letter was written, the worldwide Christian community was like an island in a sea of paganism. Today, the many Christians, biblical sense, not just nominal, everybody they call Christian, they're not if they're not a believer. Today, the many Christians in our world are dwarfed by the masses of unbelievers. The next question we must resolve in the phrase is, were brought safely through water in the New American Standard. The phrase consists of an aorist passive indicative of this verb, to escape or rescue. It occurs 8 times in the New Testament. In the Matthew verse, were cured. In Luke 7:30, saved the life of his slave. Acts 23:24, bring him to safety. Acts 27:43-44. Wanting to bring Paul safely through, and they were all brought safely to land. The shipwreck that Paul was in. Acts 28:14, when they had been brought safely through, though through has been saved from the sea. Okay, 11. Now the question is, how are we to take the question, the preposition dia, as local or instrumental? The meaning of the verb, if taken locally, would be brought safely through the water, in which the water is the threat. But if taken instrumentally, it would mean saved through water, in which the water is the means of deliverance. Okay, I'm trying not to split straws here. Just bear with me. 13, taken by themselves in the natural situation of a life-threatening crisis, these words are more plausibly understood in the first of these senses. But verse 21 seems to settle a matter in favor of the second. Water, i.e. baptism, is that which saves. 15, the instrumental interpretation of dia, through, is supported by 1 Clement 9:4, where God is said to have saved through him, Noah, the animals that entered the ark. The animals on the ark were blessed by association. They're the only ones that survived. If it is objected that they escaped only because Noah built an ark that would float, the appropriate answer is that Peter is interested in water in his account, not in the wood, because there is something that he wants to say about Christian baptism. If the question were asked, from what were Noah and his family saved, the answer would be that they were saved from death, not merely from a hostile environment. 18, as they were saved through water from physical death, baptism saves from eternal death, whatever baptism we're talking about here. 19, the paradox is that the very water that destroyed mankind was used by God to safely bear the ark along to its resting place 371 days later. 20, the water posed no threat to the 8 souls within its dirty confines. 21, Peter is taking his readers into the waters of biblical typology. where one thing is used as a type of the reality, the shadow and the reality. Typology is the study of counterparts. Or put another way, the study of shadows and their corresponding realities. 23. A type can denote a person. Moses is a type of Christ. A thing, the bronze altar, the cross. Practice of circumcision. Isolation of the sin nature. Or an event, the Red Sea crossing. Positional sanctification. Union with Christ. The many types found in the Old Testament imperfectly foreshadow the perfect realities to come. All ritual practice under the law had typological significance. It's a teaching aid. It's a way to remind people of something. This X thing represents a Y thing. Like I've told you over and over again about the animal blood and the blood of Christ. It's an analogy. The animal bleeding to death. The only way he can die, well, it's not the only way he can die, but the way they chose to make the animal die was the time it took for the animal to bleed out. And that's the time of Christ bearing sins, which I pointed out over and over again. Jesus Christ. See, this throws a monkey wrench into the fundy thing, the literal blood. He bled before the cross. What about that? He bled before they ever laid hands on him in the Garden of Gethsemane, where droplets came out of his forehead under the great pressure he was under to be forsaken by the Father for a brief time. And then, of course, the scourging and all of that and the crucifixion. Yeah, he shed blood. But he didn't bleed out by any stretch of the imagination. This is just a fact. If it's every precious blood of Jesus, like the fundies running around, you know? That always gave me a problem. But I never told anybody because I'd be called a heretic. But now I don't care. It's supposed to be funny. Okay. At least smile. Doctor gives you a sense of humor, you know? The author of Hebrews says that the tabernacle and its service was a copy, a shadow, two different words, of the heavenly things, the realities. In fact, the entire law is typologically significant. Hebrews 10:1. The Greek noun tupos means model, example, type, or figure. And the adjective anti-tupos, counterpart, are synonyms. Anti-tupos occurs two times in the New Testament in connection with typology. 30, this noun is typically an intensive form of tupos. Anti-prefix is substitutionary. Tupos occurs 15 times, of which two references are in common with biblical typology. Acts 7:44, Hebrews 8:5. 10 references have to do with being an example of something. 33. The other two examples are in connection with the nail imprints in Jesus' hands. Anti-tupos is translated corresponding to in the New American Standard. 35. The opening words of verse 21 could be better translated, which, water, is also a type, figure, of a baptism that now saves us. Or, there is also a type which now saves us, baptism. 36. Following Peter's line of reasoning from verse 20, not only was the ark instrumental in delivering the eight souls, but the water was their ally as well. The thing that destroyed everybody else was an ally to those in the ark. By the way, the ark itself is a type of Christ or union with Christ. 40. Those inside Christ are safe from eternal judgment. Those on the outside, they've had it. They're doomed. The relative pronoun that, the adjective corresponding to, antitupos, and the noun baptism are all in the nominative neuter form, as is water, from the preceding verse. The typological baptism is a reference to water baptism, not spirit baptism. Water baptism saves us typologically, not actually. It's a symbol, it's a ritual we perform after salvation, but it shows that we're in the plan of God. Water being the plan, baptism, death, burial, resurrection, all the symbolism that's in immersion, water baptism. Other forms of baptism that have been practiced are not adequate. John's baptism depicted identification with the kingdom of God based on faith in the Messiah, John the Baptist. He was the first to baptize. No one else was authorized prior to that, nor did they practice water baptism. It was carried over into the church age via the authority and instruction of our Lord and made one of the rituals for this age, Matthew 28:16. 48, this is the only reference to water baptism in 1 Peter. By the way, if you have not submitted yourself to water baptism, you need to do so if you're a believer. It's a commandment. And if you decide you want to do it, contact one of our deacons and we'll make arrangements. We just do it in warm weather, by the way. We'll get somebody's pool and we'll take care of it. Unless you want me to go dump you out in Overholser or something. Okay, where was I here? This is the only reference to water baptism in 1 Peter. The verb saves is a present active indicative. 50, it keeps on saving us, typically or figuratively. 51, the adverb now strengthens the verb form. Of course, by the way, those that insist on water baptism for salvation cite this verse. And away we go. All I'm saying is that when a person, a convert, is baptized, they are saved figuratively in a ritual, but not actually. It's the same thing with the Lord's table, isn't it? We eat and drink, the two elements, and the eating and the drinking is a picture of what is common to all human beings. All human beings exercise it, faith. You just got to have the right object. Those who teach baptismal regeneration use this verse for support of their false doctrine. 55, but Peter discounts this notion when he adds the parenthetical words, not the removal of the dirt from the flesh. See, how about, let's throw that one in there. Let's put that in the mix in this recipe. Flesh is used in connection with the STA and dirt. He's not talking about being baptized to get dirt off your body. We're not out here to clean you up and baptize you. We hope you come cleaned up. That's not the point of it at all. So, Peter discounts this notion when he adds the parenthetical words, not the removal of the dirt from the flesh. Flesh is used in connection with the STA. And dirt, only this particular word for a contaminant, Greek word, is used of personal sins. So, when a person sins, let's say one of us sins, it's like we came into contact with dirt. And it needs, for good hygiene, to be removed from our bodies, sooner or later. When it's convenient and when, you know, some people work in pretty dirty environments. So it's a challenge. The closest New Testament parallel to this phrase is James 1:21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. And of course, you know how we do that. The reference is to the rebound technique. 58, Peter is saying that water baptism cannot remove sins. He just says it right here. Do these people actually think this? I don't know. I haven't I haven't talked to them, and I don't engage in debate with them one-on-one. They start bringing this stuff up. If they want to ask a question, fine. I'll just state the case and move on. We're saved by grace and not by works. Last time I checked, ritual was works. It's an activity. He is certainly not saying something so banal as baptism is not to wash dirt off the body. Peter, like James, has moral defilement in view. The removal of the filth of the flesh is not physical, but spiritual cleansing. And Peter's point is not that such cleansing is an unnecessary or unimportant thing, only that water baptism is not it. 62. When a person believes in Jesus Christ, all their past sins are forgiven. Acts 10:43. The entire slate. And I don't care how filthy they are, how long a life, and all the sins they engaged in. When they believe, it's all washed away, so to speak. They're clean. Or we would say 100% forgiven. I don't care how atrocious the sins are. The guy that wrote the song, Amazing Grace, who came to faith in Jesus Christ, I don't know his name. He was a slave trader. The dirty business of taking human beings, breaking up their families, and all that went with it. He got saved. There is an internal cleansing or washing that takes place at the point of saving faith. Titus 3:5. He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness. See, there's another way of saying it's not by works. We didn't pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, reform ourselves, and start living a real moral life. But according to his mercy, by the washing in connection with regeneration, I added that. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit. A bath pictures a salvation adjustment. Where Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, and one of them insisted on a bath, head to toe. Of course, that was Peter. And he said, there is only one of you that needs a bath. The rest just need to wash an extremity, which is commonplace, of course, in the ancient world, as I've told you. The washing of the feet was a common practice because of the footwear and the dirty roads. And you always provided clean water when a person entered your home so they could rinse their feet off. Jesus was doing it symbolically to illustrate the rebound technique. So a bath, head to toe, represents the salvation adjustment. The washing of an extremity, like hands, illustrates rebound. The words in the parenthesis, not the removal of the dirt or the filth of the flesh, are a disclaimer. 66, the words are a connective to a potential, if not actual, misunderstanding. Water baptism is not the means to gain pardon for sins committed, but as an affirmation that the soul has been forgiven and saved. This is the gist of the contrasting phrase which follows in the parenthesis, but an appeal to God for a good conscience, in parenthesis. 69, it is worth noting that the contrast, but Allah, is absolute. In other words, not this, but that. 71, Peter is insisting that the inward moral cleansing to which he refers is presupposed by the act of water baptism. This is the breakdown of a real touchy verse. I mean, you know the doctrines related to all this, but getting the verse And being able to read it and make sense, that's another matter. That's why they that's why these churches won't devote themselves to this. They want something light and fluffy. Okay. This interpretation confirmed by the positive definition of baptism with which the argument now continues. 73, having started with water baptism, that having stated that water baptism does what water baptism does not accomplish, the removal of the dirt of the flesh, Peter describes what should accompany it. And we'll pick that up, God willing, Tuesday night. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.